Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I need to be honest with you in the moment. I don't know about you, but there is a part of me that's really looking forward to next week not preaching on this same text again. I don't mind doing the same text 4 weeks in a row that's three verses long. Did you notice that? I assure you, as a preacher, I noticed that. But psychologically, there's something about reading that little snippet and the fact that it's kind of the Lord's Prayer and kind of not. Does your brain just want it to keep going when we stop? Is it just me? Some of you are nodding. Thank you. I appreciate the affirmation. So last night I had a migraine. It was awesome. If you haven't had one before, come and join us. They're fantastic. I had a migraine last night, and it was actually kind of ironic because Sarah and I had stayed up a bit. We were watching a TV show, and then I went off to get ready for bed and realized really quickly that I was spiraling into this migraine, so I ended up crashing on the couch upstairs, thinking that when Sarah came to bed, I would get lots of sympathy and auditums and whatnot, and she could get me an ice pack and I could feel all babied and stuff. Meanwhile, downstairs, Sarah thought I was working on my sermon, and so she lay down on the couch downstairs thinking that when I finished my sermon, I'd come down, see how cute she was, and give her a kiss on the head and then, you know, get her upstairs and whatever else. So I think it was at like 4 o'clock in this morning that you went to bed upstairs, and I was still conked out on the couch trying to recover. And so someday I will work that back into another sermon as an illustration about communication and expectation and unmet expectations. But eventually, despite this headache, I eventually was able to fall asleep. And if you've ever had a migraine, you know that that's always tricky if you're having one right before bed, because your brain is just spiraling with pain. And not to give you too much information, but for me, I get very nauseated. Point of order, just because I have to, if you are nauseated, that means you don't feel well. If you are nauseous, that means you make other people nauseated. So you have never been nauseous in your life, I hope. Anyway, that's the grammar in me, just had to kind of say that. But eventually I was able to fall asleep, and I did it actually by, I was trying to clear my brain, which is also really hard for me in the midst of a migraine, because my brain won't be quiet. Like, it just keeps talking to me. And in this case, it was talking to me about, hey, now it's 1:30 in the morning. You have to get up in a few hours. Go lead worship. You should fall asleep now. Like, thanks, brain. That's not helpful. So to try and clear my mind, I fell back on the Lord's Prayer, probably partially because of what we've been doing the last few weeks, but also there is there's a setting of the Lord's Prayer in the new red hymnal. I don't know if we should still call it the new red hymnal because it's over 10 years old. Of course, we're the church, so we will still call things new, you know, forever and a day. I've heard people still refer to the site over on 8th Avenue as the new church because there was the little brown church before then, so that's the new church, so this is the new church. Anyway, I digress. But there's this setting, there's a song in that red hymnal of the Lord's Prayer, and it's kind of a little chanted version of it. It's not the version, I know some of you know that has been sung before at Bethel. I'm trying to remember the name of the vocalist, the tenor. What's his name? There's a gentleman from the church who... John Lackey. John Lackey, yeah. John Lackey has sung this version of the Lord's Prayer at several funerals and things like that. It's not that version. This version is it's almost more like a Gregorian chant. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. It's usually slower when you do it during worship, but I already just used up a lot of time just doing that, so I thought I'd do it a little faster. And I figured out years ago that for some reason that tune really calmed me down. In fact, whenever I go to have my blood pressure taken at the doctor's office, I run that through my head beforehand, because I've found that if I do that, then the doctor doesn't tell me that I have high blood pressure and need medication. Which they tried to do before I found that out. So I used that last night to calm my brain down and to get myself to kind of, you know, to relax enough that eventually, even despite everything else, I could fall asleep. So we've been reading the Lord's Prayer the last few weeks, or this chunk of it, Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. I'm going to borrow this for a moment. Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." Do you know what the word forgive in Greek really means? It's a loaded question. Of course you don't. How obnoxious is it to ask that? I shouldn't do that to you. I'm sorry. Or maybe you do know. The word in Greek that we translate as forgive, a literal translation, like a word for word, as literal as you could get it, would actually be release or let go. Do you see how that can get turned into forgive? To release, to let go? Pardon me. Why do you think God talks about us forgiving?
It's good for us.
It's good for us, right?
We can't forgive people
forgive us. It's funny that I get a kick out of the fact that the first thing Sarah just said is the reason we forgive is it's good for us. Yeah. And I'm not trying to do anything on this, but there's truth to that. I think we often think of forgiving as this thing that we do for the other person. And there's some truth to that. When we forgive someone, we have done something for them. But there's also this element of what it does for us, right? This past summer, I know that both Ben and I, well, Ben and I and Sarah, we all went out to this convention in Indianapolis about a month and a half ago. And some of you knew that, right?
Sure.
So Sarah and I, when we went out to the convention, we did Ben a huge favor. I'm going to put him on the spot right now. Ben's film company had a new film that had just been put on DVD, and we needed to get the DVDs out to Indianapolis. But it was too late to ship them via FedEx without spending a lot of money, like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So we got to take them on the airplane with us, which meant that when we were in Indianapolis, Sarah and I were maneuvering our luggage and 400 DVDs, which is a lot if you haven't seen that. And so I had all these boxes that I'm trying to, you know, go through this unfamiliar city with and carrying on various luggage carts and dealing with getting off of shuttles and into hotels and over to a convention center and whatever else. I had too much baggage. You follow me?
Yes.
I had too much baggage. The trip into Indianapolis was awful. No offense. It was awful because we had all this junk with us. But the trip out, we'd sold most of those DVDs. And the ones that were left over, we could send back with a friendly company that was out there that shipped everything back for us. So on the way home, all Sarah and I had was our stuff. And it was so light and freeing It was so easy to go through the airport. I want to travel like that every time. But that's kind of what life is like, you know? When we aren't able to forgive, when we're not able to move on and let go, release, you know, that Greek version of forgive, we start carrying all of that baggage with us. I know this is an obvious question. I assume you've done this in your life. But have you ever just consciously forgiven someone for something they've done? Maybe they didn't even, quote, deserve to be forgiven, but you found yourself able one day to let go. And I don't know about you, some of you are nodding, but the first, like the experience I have from that is always like this sense of a weight has left me. You know, there's just this sense of, oh, I don't have to carry that anymore. I don't have to lug that around with me anymore. I can just walk freely. I don't have to hold on to that baggage, hold on to that grudge anymore. I can let it go. And to be really trite and simple about it, I mean, that's why God talks about forgiveness so much. Because it isn't just about what we are doing for this other person by being able to forgive them and to let go of it, but it's also what it does for us. Which, flipping it back then to the Lord's Prayer, stop and think for a moment. The Lord's Prayer, or some version thereof, how long have we been using that in the church? Like, the whole time, right? It's like 2,000 years of that prayer. You ever stop and wonder to yourself what it is about that prayer that has made it last so long? My wife's really on it right now. Jesus told us to do it. Thank you, honey. Yes, that is probably one of the reasons it has stuck around so long. But if you stop and analyze it for just a second, I mean, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you know it, say it with me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And if those of you who were paying attention noticed that I accidentally switched between the two versions at the very start, I began with the, quote, modern translation and then switched back over. But most of you know that. You have it ingrained in your heart, right? Mm-hmm. This thing that is just, it's as indelible in you as the mark of the cross on your forehead when you were baptized. You know, it's just ingrained in you. It's one of the first things that we teach kids in Sunday school. It's one of the first things that, you know, we learn as Christians. And Sarah's right. Yeah, I mean, part of that is because Christ told us to do it. Christ also told us to turn the other cheek. We're not always great at that. It is calming. But I think one of the other things that the Lord's Prayer has in it, in its makeup, the way it's formed, is on a really simple level, it's got all the basics in it. It gets to the basics. It talks about the relationship between us and God. It talks about the relationship between us and each other. And it talks about the relationship between us and the rest of creation. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? Soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And next week we will be talking about Genesis. And what's the big thing in the creation story? The big thing in the creation story next week? It's all about the relationship between humanity and the rest of creation, that we're all connected. And you find all of that in the Lord's Prayer. And I think that's one of the other reasons why it has stuck around for so long, why it's so immutably part of our identity as Christians. It's because in that short, little, bitty prayer, because it isn't a long prayer. It really isn't. Watch a televangelist someday. That's not a long prayer. But in it, it touches on our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with all of creation. And after 4 weeks of talking about it, I hope that at some point this past month, you either learned something new about it or you found a new question to ask. So, having said all of that, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We thank you, O good and gracious God, for the example that you showed us in the life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the prayer that he gave to us and for the ways in which it has moved us throughout generations. We ask you this day and always to bless us with your peace and to help us to feel your presence in our lives. And we lift this up, trusting in your holy name. Amen.